Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. We've got a great show for you. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up.
That's right. We will be getting into the latest on Britta Horn and Steve Klenda's...
attempt to destroy the Republican Party.
Attempt to destroy the Republican Party. But just in case they're not successful, which we're assuming they won't be, last week we talked to Joe Altman, who's one of the candidates for the Republican Party chair, which is an election that's going to be held on May 30th. And today we're happy to have with us Jeremy Goodall out of El Paso County. Hey, Jeremy, go ahead and unmute yourself. And thanks,
hey, Jerry.
Thanks for the show and welcome, and thanks for your time.
I got to start out saying I thought you gave a great speech down at the assembly. It's really well done. Really well done.
Thank you. Yeah, no, there was a lot of moving parts to that. It wasn't just myself by any means. There was
I didn't say it was just you, but you had some
working behind the scenes, yeah. getting that done. Unfortunately, it looks like the judge has decided that he's not going to grant the injunction.
That wasn't really the point. What's the point? But one of the good things is just to emphasize how much the rank and file of the Republican Party wants to go for the opt-out. I mean, they overruled the chair saying it was out of order, and that took a 2/3 vote by itself, and then overwhelmingly said, no, you know, go try to get an injunction. And when people like Kathleen Chandler came up, I mean, she almost got booed off the floor.
There was some drama. I'll say that there was some fun excitement.
Sort of our big question for whoever the next chair is, and I already know what your position is, but we'll ask you, and then you can articulate it.
I know. I just want to say one more thing on Jeremy's behalf. I mean, he's been a solid warrior for the grassroots from as long as I've known him. Now, you have some people who are not, some people are kind of, sort of, but Jeremy, if you had to have a gold standard, Jeremy would be one of them.
Well, I appreciate that. That's, you're going to make me cry.
So let me jump in by asking you, you know, I think one of the biggest issues facing the Republican Party in Colorado is taking control of our own primaries and not letting Democrats and unaffiliated voters pick our candidates, which is the opt-out, right? Which is what you guys were just talking about. What is your stand on? We didn't get the injunction, but is that something, if you were chair, you would continue to keep pushing for and fighting for?
Well, my position has always been that the chair must be the servant of the body.
Oh.
And so if the body, the rank and file membership of the Republican Party, well, as we saw at the assembly and saw at the previous assembly, so this isn't just a new thing. This has been an ongoing conversation within the Republican Party and has been dramatically and overwhelmingly for getting us out of the open primary by whatever means and as expeditiously as possible. And so, yes, the body wants that. And so if I'm elected to be the chair of the body, I will absolutely be continuing to do that.
Okay.
Well, we would be out by now if we had a chairs, and it goes back to all the prior ones before Dave Williams wasn't actively trying to destroy it. I said, oh, we support the lawsuit. Oh, yeah. You raise any money for it? You do things? Well, no. We're for it. And then when we find out, when the judge finds it unconstitutional, they go, oh, well, you know, that's unfortunate. Because we need everything to be found unconstitutional. You kind of go, yeah, that's interesting. So you didn't like the judge's ruling even when we win. So they really expose themselves.
Yeah. Well, I think that's actually something I came across the other day in just a church a sermon I was watching, and that was that if your no to any kind of request provokes a fight, then your acquiescence and your agreement was not an agreement, it was captivity.
There you go.
And I'm like, that's where we're at. I think the Republican Party is being held captive, and even by some of our own members.
Right.
Yeah.
The congressional representatives.
And that, I think the outcome of what happened in Pueblo and what we dealt with, and then seeing like the NRCC stepping in and filing against the party's request for an injunction. It shows that it's not just the Democrats that want to keep us subservient to this process. There's a number of people that, frankly, are financially incentivized.
Yeah, donor bound.
Donor bound. Yeah, that's probably a better word. Yeah.
to keep it there. Well, what about that? Let's talk a little bit about money, and we'll get into later.
Well, that is, you know, I mean, if everybody was voting solely on, is this guy a true blue conservative, a true blue Republican? You would win overwhelmingly. But the party is broke. It's not only broke, it's doubly, triply, quadruply broke. You've indicated, I think honestly and fairly, at the Well Women's one, that you would expect to get a salary for all the hard work you're doing as a chair. I can tell you, being on the executive committee, there ain't no money to pay you, and there
There's
ain't
no money.
We could give you swag.
Yeah.
So there's some Trump hats.
But how are you going to, I mean, I don't know. Do you have a secret fund somewhere, you know, somewhere in the Caribbean? Or
I do not. I have a lovely house. Yeah. But I'm still.
Oh, okay. We can garner that. I will take the house. No. How do you hope to raise the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, that the party's going to need?
Well, that's a difficult conundrum, and it's one that I think is it's best addressed, because if people think that money is the problem, and the money isn't the problem, the money is the symptom of the dysfunction and the lack of trust, and the fact that everyone within the party is basically antagonistic towards each other. And what we have to do is settle that dysfunction down and give people an understanding and hope that there can be something that they can trust, and that we can then, because then people will give money.
Right.
And the rules, the campaign finance laws here in Colorado are actually significantly more restrictive than most other places, most other states.
By intention of the Democratic Party, and they impose those, of course.
Yeah, and then they impose those on us and then ignore them for themselves. Yeah. But, if Elon Musk, and I said this at the Weld event, if Elon Musk decided that he wanted to fund the Colorado Republican Party, the largest check he could write directly to the state party is $3,870-some-odd. His total that he could give to the state party and then additional county parties maxes out at $4,675.
It's a lot of donors.
And so, well, what we have to do is, the only choice we have is to settle the dysfunction and reach out and basically get a lot of people to give us a little bit of money.
Yeah.
And well, that's
the pushback of a little bit about that. I mean, yes, that's all you contribute directly to the party. And that's why these independent expenditure committees for the party is set up. And
yes.
So it could contribute, you know, if somebody came in and said, I want to give you $1 million, you're kind of great. We'll give us, you know, 4,000 for the state. I think it's 10,000 for the federal. And give the other 984,000 dollars to the IEC, which, you know, all this kind of almost pathetic, you know, ruse, but you have to obey the rules, not coordinating. But if you want to give $1 million, there's a way the Republican Party directly, which is only $14,000, and the remainder indirectly. But we closed down the IEC quite frankly, because we didn't have one, because it became a rogue establishment one, but also because we had no reason to use it, because we didn't have anybody offering us above, you know, some de minimis amount. You know, I'd for a long time, I volunteered to go to Las Vegas for the party if they'd give me, $20,000 to bet and sit down at the chemin de fer tables in Las Vegas with the Asians and everybody else and say, "Hey, does anybody want to buy an entire party in Colorado? You can buy us for just a couple million. That's all. I mean, you're just going to lose that in the next hour here. So why not do something
I get something for it.
Yeah.
Well, as long as you're trying to, like you said, I mean, we hear a lot of other chair candidates talking, we can bring in money, we can bring in money. You point out the difficulty in doing that I think you hit it on the head. But what's going to be needed is a bunch of smaller donors donating. But so what's your plan? Because and you talked about, we need to fix the party. So what's your plan there?
Well, my plan is actually to reach out and empower the county chairs.
Yeah.
There's like those gentlemen and ladies are going to know their counties better than I ever could. If we can create if we can just create an atmosphere where people are willing to speak out, share how things are done, and cooperate, then that's where we then can create that attitude of trust. It's going to be, I mean, it's not an easy thing by any means.
No.
It's not a magic wand.
No.
It just requires having some fairly uncomfortable conversations, being willing to have those uncomfortable conversations. And then really what I've found, because I was also on the Protect Kids Colorado initiatives.
Right. Yes, they got it done.
They told us when we were talking to the folks that were the paid signature gatherers, we were told you're going to need $7.5 to $8.5 million, and we didn't have that. we talked to some people who said that they were going to bring us that, and they didn't, because it's easy to promise money; it's very difficult to raise money.
Yes.
But what we did do is articulate vision, give people a clear directive, give people a clear target. And we got 3,500, actually over 3,500 by the end, ticked off grandmas, grandpas, moms, dads, aunts, and uncles to basically go across the state. And we collected more signatures than were necessary. And I mean, we 174,000 submitted on just the one issue. Total validity rate was 91%.
Wow.
And that is, if you've ever done these types of things, the paid guys actually, brag about getting over 70.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. It's like that proved, like you said, when people are unified around, we don't need to get, sort of a common cause that everybody agrees is a good cause. Yeah. You don't necessarily need billions and billions of dollars to get started.
And to emphasize that point, where there's a will, there's a way, and where there isn't, there isn't. I mean, we were told by KBB and by, oh God, all of them, the chairs, look, we don't have the money to bring a lawsuit to find a 101 on constitution. We have no money to do that. We can't do it. It'll cost, similar to the signatures, millions of dollars and so forth. So we kind of went, because we had a will, and just like you all had a will for that initiative, away. And we got John Eastman to come in. We raised money separately from the party. We raised some in the party and so forth. And we robbed Peter to pay Paul. And that's why we brought two suits, and one that in fact found portions of 108 unconstitutional. But if you listen to the Christy Burton Browns, who are always going, oh, we don't know how to do this. We don't know how to do this. On the other side, just to say, going to the county parties, we live in Adams County, right? They don't have enough money to hold a dinner for Lincoln Day dinner. I'm afraid the money, lacking of money in the state,
it's widespread. It's endemic.
But I
grew up a pastor's kid, and one of the things that we learned is that you never had enough money to do anything. The youth program for a large church, we had to learn how to get creative.
Yeah,
because creativity is always on sale.
So
if you're willing to get in and get creative, I think one of the problems that we've got, especially at the national level, is that so many of our candidates they view getting onto the ballot and solving, you know, these types of messaging issues as a function of writing the big enough check.
Yeah.
And then they get into Congress, and then they continue to think that it's just a matter of writing a big enough check. And then there's where we get our, you know, trillions of dollars in Federal Reserve debt and, you know, deficit spending, like, all over the place. What we need to do is institute, like, top-down, or not top-down, but bottom-up leadership, and get some vision, get some targeting, and figure out, like, what, like, I'm not worried about what we can't do. I'm always more a fan of what we can do. And if we can figure out what we can do, and we do that well, then that usually leads to increased opportunities and opens up the window on what becomes possible. And that's...
Let me ask you this, to get your thoughts on this. And we'll be talking later about the Britterhorn, Steve Klenda being able to plunder our bank account situation. And want to get your thoughts there. But on one hand, I was thinking, you know, right now, the Republican Party, you know, it's always been sort of the grassroots and the rhinos kind of thing. Right now, though, to a certain extent, there is, I think, a certain amount of unity because people are understanding just how dire Britta put a dire situation she left us in. And people are like, we can kind of fight, at least that's a sense I get. We can fight about some of this other stuff later. Right now, we need to pull together, save the party in the first place, or all of these other things are moot.
Right. And that's, I think a lot of the elected officials are kind of noticing that if the party goes down, they go with it.
Yeah.
And so they're, you know, they've got skin in the game. They're seeing, you know, that, I mean, they lambasted Dave Williams for, I think he raised what, like $2.1 million?
Yeah.
And, you know, and KBB had raised like $2.2 million. And they were like, oh, it's so far down and stuff. Britta was like at 84,000. I want to tell you, it was under 100,000.
Well, applying of debts of now, apparently, we find out, is over 400,000. So she was only 310. 20 to the negative.
Yeah, it's like she because I understand Dave actually left a sizable chunk in the accounts, right, to mm-hmm. you know, turn the party right over in good health. And so she spent through that, ran up a bill with Klenda, and has added additional on top of that. Now, I think under, like, currently, I believe the writ that he's gone after is on a stay.
No, it's on a stay
pending the party posting a $289,000 bond. Every minute that goes by, which we cannot do, I know, we'll talk about something to do, but no, because we were, our sources tell us that the lawyers are working right now and asking the judge to reconsider that.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, like, so the stay, quote unquote stay, is dependent upon putting up a bond. And to put up a bond, if people, you know, most people haven't done it, but you need to put up 10% in cash. That'd be around $30,000. We don't have $30,000 to give them. But then you have to, the bonding company says, okay, give me their assets.
They want collateral.
Collateral. And we said, okay,
we've got
Jeremy Goodall's house. That's one collateral we can do. We have no assets. And whatever assets we had, Britta sold at a fire sale to raise any money for herself. So it's a practical impossibility. And he may say, well, you know, good for you.
Yeah, we don't know what the judge... I mean, it's not...
And right now, it could be that the accounts are being garnished. So don't think there's a stay in effect because there's not.
Yeah,
one.
Check in with Eric on. I know the powers that be are fervently working on court motions to ask the judge. I think the assumption is that the judge is unaware that we don't have that kind of money, but who knows?
Well, he may not care.
Yeah, he may not care. So, well, let's...
I do know that they. I do know from some of the conversations I've had that Britta and Klenda did withhold significant information from the judge.
Yeah,
And I know that that's gonna, like, judges don't like that. I'm not an
no.
attorney, but I do know that judges do not like that.
Right. Let me ask you this while we're on that then, because one of the things, obviously, so what Britta they did is she had, Glenda has a $231,000 judgment against the party that says he can go seize the money plus 18% interest. Joe Altman said that he thought it would be a good idea to negotiate with Glenda. I don't, my personal opinion is number one, why the guy tried to burn the party down and is trying to. Number two, I don't know why Clenda would negotiate with us, but that's just my opinion. What are your
Well,
thoughts?
normally it's a good strategy, but they've proven themselves so destructive
Untrustworthy.
and so awful that it's I mean, normally kind of like settle it, move on. One, we don't have any money to settle it, and two, you probably won't move on. They're kind of, oh no, if you want us to move on, we're not taking 10 cents on the dollar. We'll take 80 cents on the dollar. But it's going to be a real battle. It's going to be a challenge, whoever gets to be the chair.
Well, I think I mean, like it's I would say it's probably not advisable to commit to a course of action without the full information.
Well, that's
But
smart.
I am aware of how to settle things. I've been a party to those types of processes before.
Okay.
I do not just jump immediately to, well, what's the lowest common dollar and stuff like that, because there is a certain animosity and anger, I think, within the party towards Mr. Glenda at this point.
Really?
And I don't,
Really? Huh.
And so I don't think it would be a good idea to just walk in saying that, oh, well, how can we make everybody happy? I think,
Okay.
what's the old adage? Everything for defense, but not a single penny for tribute. And I think,
Well, that's a smart answer, but we're podcasters. We can say what we think, and it has no meaning. And as incoming chair, that's probably a very wise answer to like get all the facts before you make a decision.
But
Forget that bother
I would
us.
like to talk a bit about the divide in the Republican Party.
Sure.
And people think that, it's personality driven, and it's, after a while you hate somebody, you just keep on hating them, even if you have no reason to. You kind of Irish it, I hate them. Why? Well, I can't remember, but I hate them. But in the Republican Party, it's not true. It's really a divide that has principled reasons for it. And I compare it to the divide in the country of the Civil War. I mean, they had compromised in 1820 and 1850, but really, the question of slavery was not going to be easy to compromise, because the two sides, one were for it, one were against it. And that's not something that even a compromise can paper over. So
Well,
we have a
there's
party.
really no there's no middle ground in that type of an issue. Like
And so,
either you can own a human being or you can't. Like I can't
And
kind
they
of
did try to do
I know
compromise,
a
as
guy
I said,
like
the compromise
yeah.
1820, the compromise, but it didn't work and led almost inevitably, I think, to civil war. Here we have a huge difference, and that's how we choose our candidates and what kind of candidates we get. If we have a semi-open primary, Democrats pour in by just registering as a Republican, as independent. I think in Arapahoe County, 12,000 of them did out of 27. And as a practical matter, you are going to get very liberal Republicans, moderate, if you want to call it that. You're going to get Barbara Kirkmeyers, who approved the
Jeff
budget,
Hurds.
Jeff Hurd's. You're going to get extreme, and quite frankly, the majority of the legislators we have down at the Capitol get a C, most of them a C or a D or flunk. And they're
The
not
Liberty
trying to flunk,
Scorecard.
yeah, Liberty Scorecard. They're not trying to flunk people. In fact, they want to pass anybody they possibly can.
Well, we actually have some of our Republican senators, state reps, and state senators score lower. Like there are Democrats that score higher than some of our
Yes,
Republicans.
yes, yes, yes. And
Like
so,
that's like we've got to have some ability to assert accountability to the platform. And because otherwise, what does it even mean to be a Republican?
well, it
It's
means
a
very
brand
little.
integrity issue at that point.
And so on the other side, if we go through the assembly caucus system, which I love, and you probably love. I mean, I was just down at the assembly, went through the caucus system, and yes, it's poorly attended because the sneaky other side got the petitioning thing in, so you don't have to. If
Yeah,
you're
if you have the
Barbara,
money.
Barbara Kirkmeyer, you just sign on, hey, pay, and then she said, oh, it's very democratic when you do that, when you pay for signatures, which she did. She said, I got 800. Oh, good, that's a real effort there, Barb. But so they wouldn't. Some of those representatives may not make it through the caucus and assembly process because they don't have very good bona fides as Republicans. You could, and I investigated it through Virginia. Virginia decided it was going to do their own primary and held their own primary. But they seem to be a smarter bear than we are. You could have a system where every Republican could vote. But the fight against the caucus is, well, everybody can't participate. But what about overseas members? And they said, well, the Democrats solve that for you because they can attend by Zoom to their caucus meetings. And if the only way you could get on the ballot was a caucus system, the caucuses would be
Yeah,
jam-packed.
it'd be fun.
They'd be everyone is there. And they say, well, that's just the party insiders, a few thousand or 5,000 or 2,000
Anybody that's registered.
Yeah, well,
Right.
you can go, but to say that, the average voter doesn't, Republican voter doesn't get to vote. And I kind of go, when you have a system where, in fact, the people deciding are just a general mass of them and not representative, because we have a Republican form of government, that means about 12 people in Colorado would control jungle primaries. 12 people who have billions or
Yeah, rich,
millions.
rich, it'd be, yeah,
So
people,
that
that'd be rich.
mass you say is not going to be included. They could be included in caucus. They're not. All they're going to know is whatever the rich people tell them. How representative is that? Kind of like the average person who doesn't spend a lot of time in politics or hates it or everything. All they'll ever learn about these candidates is what the rich people want to tell them. But if we could have a general one, but they don't want that. They want to continue the system. And so you have all four your congressional ones going, no assemblies, no caucuses, no, keep it just the same, and convince their own national party to go against the will of the vast majority of its members. So
Which
this,
I find, even more intriguing because, like, Jeff Flake ran unopposed in his assembly. Like, just like okay, like Lauren Boebert easily passed through her assembly. And I think Gabe Evans even. Jeff
Gabe
Rubin's the only
Evans.
one.
Gabe
Jeff
Evans
Rubin's the
had
only one
probably
that
11 or
didn't
12%. Yeah.
participate.
So at any rate, there is a real divide. And the kind of candidates and the kind of Republican Party you have will be determined by one or the other. And it's very hard, just like slavery, to come to a compromise. Maybe we could say every other year, the establishment gets to do it, and then the Republican, the grassroots get to do it. But it's either one side wins, or we just eventually fight ourselves to death. And so I'm hoping with you or others who become chair that we finally say, look, if you like being Democratic light so much, become a Democrat. It's okay. You can be a
Do
Democrat.
that.
You can
You
join.
can
They won't
go.
accept you, of course, because they couldn't stand your bourgeois ass. But go away. Go away.
And in fact, the Democrats would probably welcome you because their assembly process is completely going off the rails with their party as well.
Right.
And the folks that have been basically running and paying paying the freight on the Democrat side of things, Diane DeGette.
Yeah.
Diane
Almost didn't make it.
She lost 2-1,
Nancy Pelosi's like designated successor, the de deputy whip for the Congressional Democrat Party in D.C. only qualified for her ballot by 6 votes.
Oh yeah.
And
That's
that's probably rigged.
so the
That's
Democrat.
probably
That's
rigged.
crazy.
Well, how would you address? Because I know we won't keep it. We just give a few more minutes with you, but
Oh, come on, Julie. Open up.
well,
Let
let's let
freedom
him.
ring. Let
Let's
freedom ring.
let him. So how would you deal with some of this?
Well, I will stand. I think it's funny that these folks have been crying out that we need to unify as a party. While telling, in the case of the vote 2 years ago down in Pueblo, 90% of the assembly, and this last month, a suitably also overwhelming majority of the assembly to sit down and shut up, effectively. And I will stand with the majority. Because that's how you unify. If you're not standing with the majority, if you're demanding that 80% bend to 20% or 90% bend to 10%, you don't want unity. You want capitulation.
Well, maybe it's like in a slave plantation where they, where the slave owner goes out to the field and say, look, all you guys, we've got to unify, right? I mean, we got a war coming up about freeing you people, but we need to unify here on the plantation. And the slaves, which are us, the grassroots, going, I'm not sure I want to unify.
It's a really good point.
It's disingenuous at that point.
It's when you're looking at the kind of overwhelming majority, it's not like it's, you know, 49-51. It's like you say 90-10, and the 10, I would argue, I'll have a vested financial interest in it. It is unified. So you don't need to unify anything. You just need to carry it.
I would say if you look at the votes over the years, it's been maybe 55, maybe up to 60 for the grassroots, 55 and 45-40 the other way.
On bigger issues. And other issues.
Bigger issues. So it's not like you have to stomp on just a few ants. I mean, it's going to be a little bit of a war and a bloodbath, and hopefully those who represent the majority of Republicans, not all, can win this one and say, look, now we've got this system. So, and then, you know, they'll do one or two things, three things. One, they'll become Democrats. Yay. Two, they will, in fact, accept the caucus or whatever system we adopt and try to win it. And they can. And we want them to try because we want an active fight within, you know, you want a real primary, not a Democratic primary, but a real primary. Or they'll just drop out of politics. But we've got to be able to risk that in order to have a party that is actually will be at one time competitive, not today, one time be competitive. Julie asked me, will it get us more votes in the next election? I said, not in the next election, but when Colorado is trashed sufficiently, you'll have a party that stands for something. It will not be a party kind of goes, oh yeah, the same, we believe. So when you come up, you kind of go, well, we believe the same thing as Democrats. I go, why should we vote for you? Eventually, you'll have a party that says, we have a vision, we have an alternate, and they'll finally go, let's give them a try. But if all you are is Democratic light, they go, what difference does it make if we give you a try? You'll do the same thing.
No, it's people are not in the center because of nuanced understandings of the issues. People are in the center because they don't believe the issues matter to them, and they don't care. And that's more classically known as apathy. And the cure for apathy is bold vision and leadership and passion. And when people see that, they go, oh, they believe in what they're doing. They are like, that's what's attractive to people.
Right.
I don't think anybody's ever gotten their ex, ex-girlfriend, ex-boyfriend back by groveling and, you know, and please, I'll do whatever you want. Like, nobody likes that.
No, and
we gotta
get looking good. Well, let me just sort of final kind of open-ended there. I mean, what do you want people to
come away and for the 30th?
Oh, for the 30th. Well, yes, if you're gonna be a state central committee member or you are a state central committee member, I'm the only guy in this thing that currently is a member of the state central committee. I'm the only guy who's actually been front row, you know, front and center for all of this since 2010. All the other candidates are, frankly, coming in and having to be briefed on what's going on and what's happened. I know how it's gone down because I was there. I was there. I watched it. I've seen it. I don't have to be told what happened. I lived it. And if you're proud to be a Republican, If you consider this party to be a useful and a necessary thing, then let's get on. Let's remember what Republicans are. Let's be Republican. And that's what I'm running for, is to basically get a Colorado Republican Party that is Republican again. And that's all we can ask for. Because if we don't, if we continue to just be the party that that lends itself out for donor dollars, well, when your opinion and your soul is bought and paid for, there's a definition for that. And it's a little more offensive than politician.
I don't think there is anything. Not even lawyers.
Jeremy, then thank you for your time.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, and I think because this is, you know, and this is a hugely important race.
It really is.
You know, so a lot of times it's, you know, maybe grassroots care, or, you know, Rhino's care, but this for the entire, anyone who's a Republican, this is a hugely important race. We appreciate all the time and energy and effort, because it's not probably the most fun thing you could be doing. So.
Yeah, it is. Sure.
There are a lot of other things I could be doing. I have 10 grandkids in this state, and that's why I'm motivated to make sure it doesn't go completely off the rails into California.
All right.
It's going there too.
All right. Thank you, Jeremy, for your time. Jeremy. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys.
Jeremy Goodall, the election is going to be in Buena Vista. Oops, forget which. I know there's the right place. All right. Whatever.
Just slur.
Buena Vista. On May 30th. So we'll keep it. And I said before, if there is any chair candidate out there, because I think this is such an important race, we're happy. Pretty much people know how to get hold of us, reach out, and we're happy to have them on too. So I wanted to bring you up to speed on this whole Clinton thing, because it's interesting. There is a lot of, I guess I would say, confusion. It's not really misinformation. It's just confusion. To back it up real quick, we've been talking about this for a while. We recently found out, we being the party, that former Chair Britta Horn and her personal attorney, Steve Klenda, right before she resigned, secretly met with the judge, misled the judge, and Britta signed off, and the judge signed an order granting a judgment to Klenda, saying the party has to pay him $231,000 plus 18% interest.
And that's it's insult to injury, because the statutory rate is about 8%. No, we have in our agreement, and he attached to the agreement, this is great, not in the agreement with the Republican Party, but his personal representative of Britta Horn, like 3 months before
she became party chair. Well, and the thing is there's some confusion, because some people think, well, this means the party has to write him a check. It's like, no, this means that Klenda can garnish the Republican Party bank accounts.
And take any property it owns. Luckily, we own no property, but if we did, I don't know if we have any chairs or anything else. I mean,
until he hits the $231,000 plus interest. So he can, and so as of Friday, the law has like a 14-day sort of waiting period, right? That waiting period ended Friday. As we predicted, Klenda, first thing in the morning, as fast as he could, filed for the necessary writ that he would then take to the bank to get our money, to take the money out. Fortunately, our party lawyers were on top of it. They filed essentially sort of an emergency stay. On the other hand, the emergency stay is contingent on the party.
Because of the judge, not because of our
Because of the judge. Yeah, because the judge's order said, okay, I'll extend the waiting period until like May 21st, I think it is. But that's contingent on the party putting up a $289,000 bond, which is impossible. The party, they have like $10,000 in their bank account. So the party lawyers are now working on an emergency motion for the judge to reconsider that. But as I understand it, right now, the judge could just simply sign that writ.
He doesn't sign it.
The clerk signs it.
The clerk signs it. It's not something that usually engages.
It's usually an automatic thing, right?
Yeah. Do you have a valid writ? Is it an account? You have the, not the debtor as much as the garnishee say, well, wait a minute, that's not, you know, party account, or this is not this, or something else. Here you kind of go, no, it was obtained by fraudulent, or at least suspect.
That's our argument. Well, now, it is a great argument. Yeah, I mean, but the big question is, what does the judge think, right? Yeah. And the judge may say yes, the judge may say no. I mean, bottom line, I think the party could they could put up $3,000 or something, which is useless. So either the judge is going to say, you know, maybe the judge may say, hey, wait a minute, whoa, there's a lot here that apparently I don't know, and you'll hold the hearing, but I don't know. But as it stands right now, though, unless the judge grants that motion to reconsider, you know, Klenda has the ability to get the writ to go to the bank and take out the money. That's how dire the situation is. And a lot of people, we talked this before, are arguing about bylaws here and bylaws there.
Should we have the meeting on Thursday or Saturday? If you don't do it, Thursday, then the world will end. You go, nobody's. You don't get the existential problem we're in.
Yeah.
We're about to expire totally, and you're nitpicking about
So
nothing.
this is, yeah, whoever the chair is, this is something that they're going to have to deal with, because even if they get, I mean, unless the judge just revokes his judgment, which could happen, but this will all be somewhat decided on May 21st if Clinton doesn't take whatever money is there in the meantime. But the new chair, and this is one thing I think people are going to have to unite around. Otherwise, there will be no party.
Well, Jacob correctly says so create a new Colorado Republican Party. The problem you have of doing that, and they did something equivalent to that in El Paso. The El Paso Republican Party has a different name than most of them.
Yeah.
No, it was a different one. It was before that. It was when
Right.
Gardner was at county chair. But that's not as easy as you think. One, you have to be recognized by the National Party, or they won't deal with you.
Or the state.
Or the state would not be quite, because the state would create it. And how do you get members over? How do you decide that you're the party for the primary? The primary is only a month off, so it's a
Plus,
much bigger hurdle than you think, although you're thinking strategically there, Jacob.
I'll be honest. I mean, from what I've heard, that's something that some people have brought up.
So
Maybe we should do.
then let the National Party pay the money. They're not going
No,
to.
they're not going to. They're separate entities. Keep that in mind. The Republican, it's a completely separate entity. They're
We're
affiliate
not a subsidiary, which some
of
people are. So I'll take this up to the
RNC.
RNC, and
The
go,
RNC
the
can't. No,
RNC
let's.
can't overrule the state party. It cannot give the power that the National Party has over the local party is just say, you want, $500,000 for things, or don't you want it?
Well, and it
That's his
becomes.
power. He has no power. It's no appeal to the National Republican Party. This is unfair. I'm taking this to the National. They have no jurisdiction. Their only power they have, and it's a huge one, is
To give money.
give money or not give money.
Well, and then you have to be careful too, because under, I think, the Colorado Republican Party isn't, it can't declare bankruptcy. It's not a business, or it's a not an organization like that. And you have to be careful, I think, to a certain extent too. You can't just say, oh, guess what? Republican Party closed down, and now we've opened up our new GOP party, and here's our new bank account, right? I mean, you have to be careful. You know what I mean? Judges don't like, you can't just take the money out and move it and call it
You
something
cannot take
new.
the money out,
Yeah.
and you cannot take the assets. And one of the assets is the name. The
Right.
name of the Colorado Republican Party is an
So
asset of.
it's a tricky situation. And once again, I'm just gonna, in the spirit of non-unity, point out to the congressional elected officials, to the Barb Kirkmeyer, to all of the rhinos who shoved Britterhorn down our throat
Yes.
and who refused to vote with the rest of us to fire Clenda.
Natalie
This
Tennant.
is what you guys created. You
Yes.
brought the party. I mean, who knew that they would be vi that Britta and Clenda would be so vindictive? Well, we saw evidence of that all along. And so here, this is nothing more than an attempt to destroy the party.
Well,
And
let's bring Ray Garcia on. He's if he has anything to add. Ray, would you like to?
we're picking on you. No,
We're picking
we're
on you.
calling
Oh,
on
you're
you.
calling on me.
You
You're
want to
calling.
unmute yourself? If not, that's okay.
That's okay if you don't.
Hey guys,
Hey there.
I was actually just talking to. So I'm the one running the lawsuit against Clenda,
Yes.
Right.
and I was just on the phone a minute ago talking to the pro se court. So there's basically nothing's going on right now. We're just waiting. We're
You
waiting.
have a status conference coming up, don't you?
Yes.
When is that?
I don't have my notes in front of me right now.
Okay. That's all
I
right.
got
But
way too
I
many
think
things.
it's either 19th or 21st. I can't remember which of the
Yeah,
two dates.
it's either the 19th or 21st. I think it's the 21st, but don't
Okay.
quote me. I got too many other things going on in my head right now.
Yeah, no, you guys, I mean, at once, and I think, thank you, Ray, to Ray and all of the people who have been
Yeah.
stepping up, and the lawyers. It's like, well, Steve Clenda's getting, pay is billing us $1 million for an hour's worth of work. You've got, the current party lawyers are working their butts off, and they're not getting $1 million per hour.
And people like
I
Ray,
know I sure ain't.
right? You're not getting $1 million either per
I
hour.
sure ain't. This is costing me. I tell you what, the bills keep coming in.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Then that one is kind of there, and I think that's good, because if we can have that's a the thing is that's a whole different judge. But at least if we have a ruling where the judge says, no, you did fire Clenda, because we have Britta saying that motion passed, then we can take this to the current judge and say, see, We fired him. We told him we fired him.
Well, more than that, I mean, I would think that the judge in Ray's case would kind of, what do you mean you filed it in a different court and gave no notification to me or to anyone else that you were going in, at least on issues that are closely related to my case? And so that
It's kind of a judicial no-no.
yeah,
Yeah,
well,
exactly, Chuck.
once
Exactly.
again, a judge can take offense at what it wants, but many judges would take enormous offense. So that status conference, which I don't really know who would come in totally for the party, but I mean, it should be Randy, but I think he only made a limited appearance, so who knows? Maybe Clenda would come in too as a.
He'll be the party. He'll be representing himself in the party again. All right. Well, Ray, hey, thank you. And thank you for the work that you're doing
Yeah,
there.
great work.
We
That's
can't,
great.
yeah, we would
Now,
be.
on that, real quick, on that, Clenda is being sued personally, and Britta is being sued personally on
Yeah.
that case. So
Okay.
they
Didn't you get a
Not
default judgment against
Britta?
yet.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. Well, good. Well, Ray, thank you for that. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, have a good one.
All
Love
right.
the
Thank
show.
you. All right. No, thank you. Thank you. Well, so that's the status of that. And we'll keep you posted as we keep saying, it's a fast developing story. And you know, we should be getting some answers hopefully this week. Hopefully, you know, the judge pro yeah, ho hopefully the judge will say, okay, well, wait a minute. There seems to be some confusion here, perhaps on my part. So we need to sort that out.
Yeah, it shouldn't, the unincorporated source associate, nonprofit association cannot represent itself in
Right.
court. And it appears that Britta did, or maybe Clenda
A lot
represented
of
both
weird
parties.
legal issues.
So the judge probably should not have done that, but we'll find out.
Yeah, judges, yeah. You have to
Judges
say,
can do what they
you
want,
were
have it
tricked. You were
overturned.
tricked.
Yeah.
Hey, let me then, because that's going to wrap it up for us today. But on Wednesday, this should be kind of fun. The New York Post, Seth Barron has a new book out. It's called Weaponize: The Left's Capture and Destruction of America's Sacred Institutions. Not only will we have the latest what's going on in the Republican Party in Colorado, but I think that should be a pretty interesting interview
Well, we
too.
also go over we hope today, but we've had such a great show and so many great guests that to go over the incredible 1 hour interview by Peter Boyles with Victor Marx. It was an incredible hour. They devoted the whole show, I don't think intentionally, the Jeff and Billy all three well three of the 4 hours, the last 3 hours
Yeah,
or
pretty
so,
interesting.
and it's become a huge thing. I think. I am unclear why the Mandy Connells and the Michael Browns and everyone else is so interested in destroying Victor Marx. I mean, well, oh, there's so many other things going
Hey,
on
like
that they go, yeah, we killed Victor Marx. You killed everybody, you bombs. I mean, what's wrong with you?
Bill Weiser, but that's
Yeah,
just us.
yeah.
Hey, listen, that'll do it for us. Thank you to Jeremy, the guys at BBS, Ray, everybody on Zoom, and we will see you all on
Take care,
Wednesday.
everyone.